And if you have a rooster, you must have a hen now. Zungu, zungu, go, zungu, zen.
This is the Boy Scouts of America. You are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA. ACRA.
Perfect. ACRA. Thank you.
Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned into All Together Now. WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates,
Hello,
weather,
Cleo,
interviews, and more.
WGXC 90.7
plus community
FM
events
Agra.
And the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen Joseph Hunter of Acre, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Democrats in the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Donald Trump on December 18th on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The vote was 230 to 197 on abuse of power and 229 to 198 on obstruction, with presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard voting present. In the Hudson Valley, Republican Representative Elise Stefanik voted against both articles of impeachment, and Democrats Representative Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney voted in favor of impeaching the president. New York Senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand will now sit on the trial in the U.S. Senate. Quote, each senator has a constitutional duty to consider the evidence marshaled by the House to make a fair, dispassionate judgment on whether or not to convict the president, unquote. Gillibrand wrote on Twitter, quote, I'm deeply troubled by what I've heard from the House hearings. It appears President Trump put our national security at risk in order to obtain political favors. There also appears to be strong evidence of obstruction of Congress and abuse of power, unquote.
Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Hudson Mayor Rick Rector, December 17th, announced he has no intention of appointing a new planning board chairman before his term ends at the end of the month, leaving the responsibility to Mayor-elect Kamal Johnson in January. Walter Chatham abruptly resigned December 11th, during a heated debate over A. Colarusso and Sons' conditional use permit. Colarusso applied retroactively to replace its bulkhead at 175 South Front Street and for a conditional use permit with a site plan for improvements to its haul road in the city's South Bay. In a statement, Chatham, an experienced architect and urban planner, expanded on his decision to resign effective immediately, saying that a group of citizens is attempting to undermine the planning process for the A. Colarusso and Son projects. He said, and I quote, "This has been done through a concerted effort on both sides of the planning table, and I am both angry and concerned with the way that the aforementioned citizens have undermined careful legal steps that the city attorney, Andy Howard, and I, consulting with many, many people, felt was the best course." Chatham said the aggressive advocacy on the part of certain people has created an atmosphere of confusion and fear, putting the planning board in an untenable position. He said, and I quote, "What I have come to realize is that facts don't matter to some people. They are so convinced of the rightness of their cause that they will resort to any means to get what they want," end quote. Editor's note, Johnson is an active WGXE volunteer programmer, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com.
Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that the Hudson Common Council did not override Mayor Rick Rector's veto of a 9-month moratorium on short-term rentals December 17th, as 4 Common Council members flipped their previous votes on the issue. Eileen Allerin, Dominic Moranti of the 5th Ward, and Rich Volo of the 4th Ward, and Rob Bujan of the 1st Ward voted for the moratorium previously, then voted against the legislation this week. The moratorium was meant to give the Common Council time to consider regulations on short-term rentals, similar to those being passed lately in many other Hudson Valley communities. There was an exchange during the December 17th Hudson meeting between the main force behind the moratorium, John Rosenthal of the 4th Ward, and Volo. Quote, "You voted for it the first time," unquote, Rosenthal said. Volo replied, quote, "Well, things have changed," unquote. But the story does not detail what changed for Volo or Halloran, Moranti, and Bujan. What will change soon is the makeup of the Common Council, with new representatives and a new mayor January 1st, when Rosenthal said he will reintroduce the legislation. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting State Senator Jennifer Metzger, December 17th, announced she will introduce legislation to permanently ban the process of fracking gas in New York. The Rosendale Democrat chose the 5th anniversary of the state moratorium on the practice to make her announcement. She was joined by several environmentalists, including Sullivan County resident actor Mark Ruffalo and singer-songwriter Natalie Merchant. "While there is a ban on fracking within the state, there is nothing that prevents fracked gas from being imported from out of state." State Senator Liz Krueger said Tuesday that fracking should be banned across state lines. The Manhattan Democrat said, and I quote, "Natural gas's path to the surface doesn't understand whether the line on the map says Pennsylvania or New York or New Jersey. We need to make sure we are banning this practice throughout our entire region and, I believe, country," end quote. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Emily Masters reports in the Times-Union that state and county officials closed a bridge in deteriorating condition December 18th in Skodak in Rensselaer County. The bridge takes County Route 4 or Van Hosen Road over rail lines in Skodak. Last replaced in the mid-1990s, it was due for repair next year. County officials have yet to announce a detour route. Read more about this story in the Times-Union.
The Daily Freeman is reporting more than 175 skiers and riders dressed as Santa Claus raised $7,000 for the Wyndham Community Food Pantry Sunday, December 15. Participants in the 10th annual event at Wyndham Mountain dressed up and donated to the food pantry in exchange for 2 lift tickets. Tom Jakubowski, a representative of the Wyndham Community Food Pantry based at Hope Restoration Church, accepted the check from Chip Siemens, president and general manager of Wyndham Mountain. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Everyone gets calls from telemarketers. Sign up for the no-call list and the calls keep coming. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a new regulation December 18th that he says will stop unwanted calls from telemarketers. Now telemarketers in New York who knowingly make calls during declared states of emergency will be banned from work in New York. Quote, on a good day, telemarketer calls are a nuisance. During times of emergency, they can impede residents' ability to get information they need to stay safe, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, by signing this measure into law, we will help ensure New Yorkers receive potentially life-saving notifications in real time, creating a safer empire state for all, unquote. Read more about the story at New York State of Politics.
Lorna Chirot, a little way, is reporting for the Columbia paper on the December 10th Hillsdale Town Board meeting. At that meeting, Fire Commissioner Bud Atwood spoke about the recent difficulties dealing with multi-dwelling apartment building owners. Town law requires the units and buildings be inspected every year, but Atwood said code enforcement officer Lee Heim is being denied access to the properties. Atwood warned the lack of inspections is a, and I quote, safety issue, end quote, and it complicates firefighters' work because it is unclear how many occupants are in the unit or the overall capacity of the buildings. Town Supervisor Peter Chipkowski agreed with a suggestion the town may need to hire an inspector dedicated to multi-unit buildings. In the public comments portion of the meeting, Steve Bluestone complained that an offer to open his brewery at, and I quote, reduced capacity, end quote, was unacceptable because reduced capacity equals, and I quote, reduced income, end quote. He added that further delays in opening the 18-month project would cause him to, and I quote, lay off workers and contractors, end quote. Building plans call for 7 apartments above the brewery, which Bluestone cannot rent due to unresolved issues with the town's sewage system. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 20 degrees. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of around 9 degrees. And on Friday, sunny with a high near 25 degrees. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low of around 5 degrees. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
There's lots to listen to on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, and there's even more to listen to at WGXC.org or go to wavefarm.org/listen for all sorts of live web streams. Thursday, December 19th, you can tune into another show from Experimental Intermedia in New York City with Annabelle Pla performing. That's at 9 p.m. also. Friday, December 20th, there are 3 different live web streams. At noon, the Hudson Development Corporation meets, and there'll be a live web stream of that meeting. 7 p.m., live from High Low in Catskill, Brian DeWan's annual Christmas show is on. Tune in at wavefarm.org/listen or go to WGXC.org, click on the Listen button. Also, at 8 o'clock on Friday, December 20th, live from the Avalon Lounge, Brian Cantor's Sleigh Ride, Donnie DeNiro, The Wild Weeds, Will Lawrence, and Darian Rectangle perform, all on a fundraiser for the Catskill Community Center. Then Saturday, December 21st, it's Christmas time. At 4 p.m., tune in to a live webcast and broadcast from the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson of the Shepherd's Play, annual Christmas tradition from Camp Hill, Hudson. At 6 p.m., tune in to another Christmas tradition, Unsilent Night from Phil Klein. This year it's at Art O' My in Ghent, and on the radio at 90.7 FM and with a live web stream at WGXC.org and wavefarm.org/listen. Finally, Saturday, December 21st, there's another live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, this one with Homebody performing. Lillian Hornhorse is also on the bill with Emily Ritz and DJ Neva. Then on Sunday, December 22nd, Wesley Harper plays the entire soundtrack to the Charlie Brown Christmas show live at Hilo in Catskill at 11 a.m. and with a live webcast at WGXC.org and wavefarm.org/listen.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Thursday, December 19th, Brett Miller, Dylan Nowick, Alex P. Wernquist, and Dante Bardo perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with a live web stream on WGXC.org starting at 7 p.m. Sylvia Billette performs songs from her new album, Runway, at the Colony Cafe in Woodstock. The Club Helsinki Pro Jam is a bi-monthly jam session featuring dozens of professional musicians from the greater Hudson Valley region. Starts at 8 p.m. DJ Siluman performs at the Half Moon in Hudson, starting at 10 p.m. On Friday, December 20th, Hudson Development Corporation meeting to be held at 1 North Front Street with live web stream on WGXC.org. Meeting starts at 12:01 p.m. at the Columbia County Chamber of Commerce. Brian Duman's annual Christmas songs performed with accordion and auto harp at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with live web stream on WGXC.org at 7 p.m. The First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street in Hudson presents The Shepherd's Play at 7 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. Tubby's in Kingston presents An Albert Eiler Christmas at 8 p.m. Reverend Ronald Grant, pastor of Shiloh Baptist Church here in Hudson, New York, shares the spirit of the holiday season at Club Helsinki Hudson at 8 p.m. Brian Cantor's Sleigh Ride, Donnie DeNiro, The Wild Weeds, Will Lawrence, and Darian Rectangle perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill at 8 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. On Saturday, December 21st, the City of Hudson Senior Center and Hudson Area Library's last 2019 Watercolor with Your Grandparents session with local artist Gretchen Kelly will be held at 2 p.m. at the Hudson Senior Center. The First Presbyterian Church on Warren Street in Hudson presents The Shepherd's Play at 4 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. Art Omai presents Phil Klein's Unsilent Night 2019, a participatory electronic soundscape celebrated worldwide every December since 1992 at 6 p.m. in the Field Sculpture Park at Omai in Ghent. Homebody, Lily and the Hornhorse, Emily Ritz, DJ Neva all perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with live web stream on WGXC.org.
This is Todd Merrill. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Radio made with radio.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Dave King and Frank Tortaglioni of Philmont, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I am Lena, and I am a student of MC Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're from Hudson.
Yes, I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
Bookish things.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
And today, because the holidays are just around the corner, we're going to talk about some of our favorite holiday books, movies, and music.
Yeah.
And maybe other things. Yeah. So we're saying we're talking about the holidays. We're probably mostly going to talk about Christmas, but we're also going to talk a little bit about Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And maybe some solstice.
Wait, what's solstice?
That is on December 21st.
Okay.
And it's the darkest night of the year.
I forgot to include Kwanzaa. Mm-hmm. I know very little bit about Kwanzaa, but like I have a book about it, which I only read around Kwanzaa because like, why not?
Yeah, I've read some books about Kwanzaa. There aren't quite as many of them. I mean, clearly there's a lot of Christmas books.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of Hanukkah books.
Yeah.
Not too many solstice books. Or New Year's books.
Or Kwanzaa
books. There are some Kwanzaa books. I don't know that I have any favorites.
Yeah.
I'll have to figure that out. I've definitely read a bunch, but I don't have any top picks.
Yeah. Is it just me, or should Christmas and Hanukkah at least give, like, Kwanzaa and New Year's and solstice a turn? Because, like, they have a bunch of books, so maybe you, like, if
well,
they're...
Well, it's not the holidays. themselves.
Yeah.
It's the publishing industry and the and the people buying the books and writing the books too.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, there could be some more.
Yeah. And if there are any writers listening, please make books about New Year's, Kwanzaa, and Solstice.
We have a number of books about the Lunar New Year, like the Chinese New Year.
Yeah. A few.
We have a few of those. But yeah, I can't think of any New Year's Eve, like December 31st to January 1st books.
Oh, yeah.
There probably are some. I just can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Kwanzaa books, if you're out there listening and you're like, there's this amazing Kwanzaa book, I can't believe she's not saying it's her top pick, let me know.
Yeah.
You can contact me at info@hudsonarealibrary.org and tell me your top Kwanzaa pick and I'll look into it. Maybe we can get it for the library if we don't have it already. Or if we do have it, I can read it. And be able to sing its praises next year.
Yeah.
I actually know one winter solstice book that I really liked. And this is a new release that just came out this year. Is called The Shortest Day. And it's by Susan Cooper and with illustrations by Carson Ellis. And it's a poem that Susan Cooper wrote called The Shortest Day. And it's about the winter solstice.
Yeah.
And it's a very lovely poem that I've had in my life since I was a child, because there was an event I went to every year, basically, as a kid through high school, really, and maybe a little bit into my adult life with my parents. We went to this event every year, where as part of the event, they always read this poem. So I really loved this picture book because it sort of brought back memories of those times. So it's very nice. It's a poem about the solstice.
Yeah.
But that's my only solstice book that I know.
Oh, okay. Emily?
Yes?
I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I've only, read one Christmas book that I remember.
Really?
Yeah. Christmas, I don't read at all because I'm too busy watching The Polar Express, The Christmas Spirit, and other great movies.
Did you read The Polar Express book ever?
No.
Because you know it's based on a book?
Really?
Uh-huh.
The Oriental?
With really beautiful illustrations. But so what is the only Christmas book that you know?
It's one that I talked about on this show, the last show.
What was it?
Welcome Comfort. Yeah.
So you didn't read books when you were a kid about Christmas?
No, I only watched...
How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Wait, did I actually read that?
Or did you see the movie for that one?
No, I actually saw, whenever I think of Christmas, my only thoughts are laying in bed for too long, opening... So this is my daily schedule on every single Christmas. Well, most of the Christmas is sleeping in for too long, waking up, eating breakfast, waiting for everyone to start waking up or eat breakfast, calling you out, Cecile. Or my dad, sometimes he's like, I gotta finish my food. And all he's drinking is coffee. Mm-hmm. Or he's eating something and I'm like, hurry up, guys, because I really want to open up presents a lot. Opening up presents, being like, yay, I got blah, 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 or blank.
And or blank.
Yeah, because it could be anything. And me being like, oh, it's 10, because sometimes I wake up at 8 or 9. And I'm like, oh, it's 10. We better start watching those movies. And it's
so what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Ooh. This is going to be hard.
You can name a few.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Emily is the best. Hashtag number one person.
It's my Christmas gift to you.
Even though it's not Christmas yet.
It's a pre-Christmas gift.
Okay, yeah. The Polar Express.
Mm-hmm.
The new Grinch movie.
Which one, the live action or the animated?
The animated.
Okay.
Not the one cartoon one. I mean the
new
one.
Not the original cartoon, but the new cartoon.
The new one. The Christmas Spirit. And I'm guessing that none of you have heard of this who are hearing the show. So I'm going to try to summarize it. I actually didn't watch most of the movie. Darn it, I can't summarize this that well.
So is it really one of your favorites if you didn't watch it?
Well, I was like, no, I don't want to watch it because I was too busy coloring my squishy mushy, which is a squishy.
Mushy.
Yeah. So I'm just going to try to summarize this the best I can. So it's about this girl who somehow gets a hotel and there are a few days where she's there and she's like, huh, okay. Some weird stuff has happened. The lights turned off, even though I turned them on. Some crazy stuff has happened. The fan broke. This vase, like, fell off and stuff. Like, I don't remember what broke, but out of nowhere, she sees this man, I think. I'm sorry, but I haven't watched this since last Christmas, kinda. Because kinda. I didn't watch most of it because I was busy coloring in my squishy mushy. So she like met this man and she was like, hey, you're not staying here. And then like she blinks for a second and then he's gone.
Wow.
Okay, and that's all I'm going to tell you guys.
Cool. You want to know my favorite Christmas movies?
What? You can only name three.
I can name three? Okay.
Yeah. Three or four.
Three or four.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking with Amelia last week about this, and she thought it was more of a Halloween movie, and I thought it was more of a Christmas movie, but I love The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, no. The creator said that it was more of a Halloween movie, and that
I think
is...
of it as a Christmas movie.
Oh, no, 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 no. It is a Halloween movie.
I just don't buy it. I don't know. To me, it's very clearly a Christmas movie. But anyway, since it's my choice, I'm claiming it. So I love that one. In terms of the classics, I haven't seen it in a number of years, but I used to watch it every year. It's a Wonderful Life. And I like the original Grinch. I haven't seen the newer ones, but I like the animation.
Okay.
And then I'd be lying if I didn't say Elf.
Oh.
I just think Elf is really funny and fun. But I'd say those are my favorites. I'm probably forgetting one.
Emily, I forgot to mention one that I just saw recently.
What was that?
Home Alone 1. Oh. I have just seen it, and it is the bomb.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid. It's good, though. It holds up, even though it's as old as me. It's less old than me, actually, but it came out when
really
I was a kid.
Young. You look oh, really thanks. Young, like in your 20s.
So just like so? The movie holds up, I hold up.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
You can't go past 21.
Really. Oh, okay. I'm 21?
Yes, you are 21 and you wow. will stay 21.
Cool. I don't think I talked about Christmas books.
Yes.
Did I?
You I only talked about the Seltzer
book. Oh, the Solstice book.
Yeah.
So for a Christmas book, so the one that reminds me the most of my childhood is Santa Mouse, which is really cute. It's about a mouse who ends up becoming Santa's helper. And it's very sweet. So that was my favorite growing up. And then recently I've read a couple that I really liked in recent years. One is a Taro Gomi book called Presents Through the Window. And it's a little kid's book that has, you know, like a little window in the book. So you can see something through the window. And then when you turn the page, it kind of reveals what it really is. And so there's all of these different creature characters that are getting gifts from Santa through the window. And so it's kind of like a revealing book where, you know, each time you turn the page, it reveals something. But part of the reveal is that as you're reading the book, you realize that Santa maybe made some wrong deliveries because people are getting gifts that make sense for their neighbors.
Oh.
So it's really cute and very simple and interesting. Okay. And then I read a really good one this year that actually ties together Christmas and Hanukkah, which Ooh. Is nice. It's called The Trees of the Dancing Goats by Patricia Polacco. And it's the story of a young girl named Trisha who loves spending Hanukkah with her family. And they're getting really excited for Hanukkah and, you know, celebrating.
Yeah.
And they go to visit their neighbors, and their neighbors, like the whole neighborhood, except for their family, have gotten scarlet fever. So they're very sick and aren't able to really celebrate Christmas. And so they feel bad for their neighbors because they know how much joy Hanukkah brings for them and how much joy Christmas celebrations brings for their neighbors. So they decide to cut down Christmas trees and decorate them and secretly deliver them to all their neighbors. And so it's about the family doing that.
Yeah.
The Christmas and Hanukkah season. So it's a very sweet book.
Emily, I just realized something.
What's that?
We read a Christmas book today, and I totally forgot about it.
You read one today?
Yeah, a Christmas book.
What was it called?
I can't remember what it was called. So it's about this family who is from Germany, and in this story, they brought over Christmas
Like they've come to the United States?
Yeah,
and
they
brought
came,
their Christmas celebration.
No, they came to Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And basically. And they were like, oh, this is what we do. And they chopped down trees and did stuff what we would have done in the olden days when there was no electricity, no phones, not even your Chromebook. So they did some of that stuff and they got made fun of because they were the only ones who did that. And then a couple years later, year after year, a family would copy them and they would do the same thing as them. And it made me think of one of my friends was copyrighted artists, which is a game that we played together, which I am bad at because it doesn't let me play it. Even though you don't even have to move around in the game. So, yeah. People eventually just, copied them.
Interesting.
Yes.
I have another Hanukkah book to talk about.
Oh my god. Talk about Hanukkah.
There are not as many Hanukkah books as there are Christmas books.
Yeah.
There are so many Christmas books that come out every year. And there's usually some Hanukkah books, but not as many. So it's a little more slim pickings. But there are some really good ones that I like. But my new favorite one that came out, I think, last year is called Hanukkah Hamster by Michelle Markell. And it's about a cab driver named Edgar who, after a long day of work, is getting ready to go home and realizes there's a hamster in his car. So somebody left a hamster behind in his car. And so he does his due diligence and, reports it to Lost and Found at the cab company so that if anyone is like, I'm missing my hamster, that they'll be able to find their hamster. And in the meantime, he takes care of the hamster in his home, and they form a nice connection. He names the hamster Chickpea and starts to celebrate Hanukkah with his new hamster friend. And he lives alone. His family's back home in Israel, and so he's missing his family. And so it's nice to have this little creature to, spend the holiday with. And it's very sweet.
Yeah.
It warmed my little heart.
You're saying that you
my
have
big
a
heart.
Tiny heart.
It warmed my big, huge heart.
Okay.
But it was really nice. And you said you had something you wanted to talk about with Hanukkah?
No, it was Kwanzaa.
Oh, Kwanzaa?
A book that I read. So it was a book where she's oh, I can't wait for Kwanzaa. And then she's hopefully my big brother makes it because he's coming back home from college. And there's a big snowstorm and he couldn't make it.
Oh.
And she's oh, what would Kwanzaa be like without my big brother? And she was all sad the whole time. They invited friends and family. They tried to cheer her up. And then, I'm pretty sure at the end of the... Never mind.
No spoilers?
Yeah, no spoilers. Yeah.
For those who are listening on Thursday, on this Saturday, December 24th, first at 4 p.m. at Hudson Hall, Operation Unite is holding their Kwanzaa Umoja celebration.
What's Umoja? You're glad that I asked.
And I just looked up Umoja because I didn't know what it meant.
Okay.
And in Swahili, it means unity.
Unity? Mm-hmm. What's unity mean?
In Kwanzaa, the seven principles of Kwanzaa, Umoja means unity, and it's to strive for and to maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that's on Saturday at 4 p.m. at Hudson Hall, so Saturday, December 21st. So if you're listening Thursday, there's still time to attend.
Yeah.
But we also wanted to talk a little bit about songs before we go, because
there's
lots of great holiday songs. Again, not as many that I know about the solstice. Or about Kwanzaa, but I'm sure they do exist. And not so many about Hanukkah either.
I know a
lot. Although we know at least one.
I know a few of them because I've been in school for a while. And they're we have to include Hanukkah. How dare you not include
there
Hanukkah?
There may also be some songs that are sung that are more religious too. That aren't as popular in terms of popular culture. Yeah. But what's one of the songs that you know? The only one I know is the dreidel song.
Okay, so, wait, do you mean the one where it's oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
Yeah.
And when it's dry and ready, oh, my dreidel, I shall play. There's actually a game that's really fun that goes with it.
The dreidel game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good time. But you sing other Hanukkah songs too?
Yeah, but there's like one where it's like, spin and spin, dreidel spin, let the Hanukkah fun begin. Twirl and spin, whirl around, let the dreidel hit the ground. Tell the tale for all 8 nights, it's a festival of lights. What a wondrous holiday, we will sing and we will play. Recorders, and then they repeat the singing.
Huh, I like that.
And then like third graders like repeat the singing, fourth graders keep on playing the recorders. So since I'm a fourth grader, it's sing, play, play, and then third graders get sing, wow, play, sing. So yeah,
that's a lot to keep, yeah, track of what you're supposed to be doing. But I like that song. I never heard that one before.
Yeah,
I like that more than the dreidel song. Although the dreidel one's catchy.
Yeah. It's like, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. Like, last time I heard it and I actually remembered all of it was, like, when I was in kindergarten. I forgot what happened in third grade. Like, did I win?
Do you have any favorite Christmas songs?
Oh. There's one that people say it involves religion.
That's okay. What is it?
Okay, I'm sorry if anyone is like, oh my god, that is so offensive, because I don't know how it's religious. So it starts out like this: ding dong, ding dong, hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, oh, yeah, all sing and say, so joy throws away, Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek young and bold, ding dong, ding dong, that is a song which will bring,
yeah, it's a little too high for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a nice one.
Yeah,
that's your favorite. Well, how does it make you feel?
It's one of my favorites. It makes me feel, like, happy. But my number one, if you're asking,
I am,
is, you know, Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Cupid.
Vixen.
Connor and, oh, I meant Vixen. But you know it all. The most wonderful reindeer of all. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw I sang that when I was in kindergarten too.
So that's your favorite?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Yeah, and my mom told me that they're going to take it off the radio. We'll take it off the internet, basically, because, like, radio is internet and internet is radio. Basically, kind of. They're just going to be like, Thanos snap, you never existed.
Oh, no.
Like,
why?
Because it was like about bullying.
Oh
yeah, because like they didn't let him play because he had a red nose.
But it's about how he overcomes bullying and becomes, yeah, like the star of the show, and, yeah, how he's so important,
yeah,
and what made him special,
yeah,
and different, and people were bullying him, yeah, for, it was actually an asset. And
what's an asset?
A positive thing. It has a purpose.
Oh my god.
Like, Santa wouldn't be able to drive his sleigh through all that snow, yeah, without this shiny red nose. So it,
yeah,
it was an asset to their team, his nose.
Yeah. And also, instead of saying his red nose, I almost said his stuffy nose.
His stuffy nose. That's why it was red, because he had a little, yeah, bit of a cold.
Yeah, like as soon as he was born, and then boom, it started glowing because he started playing with a glow stick. It fell on his nose,
mm-hmm,
because my sister actually broke a glow stick once, and she was wearing shorts, and she started drawing on her legs, and it started glowing, and the glow stick magic just went on her legs.
Wow.
Yeah. And she did that on purpose, and I'm mad at her because I'm like, no, I don't want to die. You can just go do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, before we run out of time, I will tell you my favorite Christmas songs.
Yes.
So my favorite Christmas album, first of all, which is a different thing.
Wait, what's now?
Is like a collection of songs,
okay,
on a disc or a playlist, is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings has a really great sort of soulful Christmas album. It also has a Hanukkah song on it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And actually, I like that Hanukkah song too. But I think I like some of the kind of like nice classics like White Christmas or The Christmas Song or I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Or All I Want for Christmas.
I actually do like some of those cheesy ones too. I love the Mariah Carey All I Want for Christmas Is You. And I love Last Christmas by Wham.
Oh, I love Last Christmas. They even made a movie about it. And I was like, let's go see it. And then... I found out later that wasn't for kids. But I am the one who went to go watch Shazam, which was PG-13.
Shocking.
Yes. Not at all, because I watch anime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, those are some of our holiday picks.
Yeah.
So we hope everyone out there listening has a good week.
Or Christmas.
And more importantly, a happy solstice, a happy Hanukkah,
Christmas,
and a Merry
Kwanzaa.
Christmas.
You forgot
and
Kwanzaa.
And a happy Kwanzaa, too.
Yes, thank you for including Kwanzaa.
Thank you for pointing out that we should include Kwanzaa.
Yes. Well, yes. I hope you have a merry holidays, four of them.
And it's not here yet, but yeah. Happy New Year, too.
Yeah, and also, for your New Year's resolution, I'm going to recommend this one. Try to read as many books as you can, and happy reading!
Happy reading!
Yay.
Now here's one for all the little kids. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer
Daily Newscast for Thursday, December the 19th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. President Donald John Trump is now the third president in history to be impeached and the first to be impeached during his first term. Just before 9 o'clock Wednesday night, the House passed the second of two articles of impeachment on party lines with a handful of Democratic defections. Trump told supporters at a rally the Democrats are trying to nullify the ballots of tens of millions of Americans. He also told the crowd he didn't really feel like he was getting impeached.
A new investigation reveals black residents of black neighborhoods are the most likely to be traffic stop targets in Ohio's three biggest cities. Mary Sherman has our report.
Followed into a public park and forced to leave, cuffed and questioned for whistling while waiting for a bus, pulled over for spending too much time at a gas station. Those are just some of the experiences of black drivers in Ohio who say they've been unfairly stopped and questioned by police. Reporters from the nonprofit newsroom Ion Ohio, the Cincinnati Inquirer, and researchers from Stanford University's Big Local News program examine police stops in Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus. Ion Ohio reporter Lucio Walinches explains that when focusing on neighborhoods with at least 75% or more African American or white residents, a similar pattern emerged just in terms of the sheer number of stops.
In Cincinnati, there were 120% more stops per person in predominantly black neighborhoods compared to predominantly white ones. In Columbus, that number was 84% higher. And in Cleveland, police issued 26% more tickets in predominantly black areas compared to predominantly white ones.
The analysis reveals some disparities were likely the result of police practices versus outright discrimination.
This reported collaboration is funded in part by the Ohio News Media Foundation, the George Gunn Foundation, and produced in association with media in the public interest. Soon, the state of Maine could have the first floating wind farm in the Americas.
Central Maine Power Company recently signed a 20-year contract with Maine Aquaventus, which plans to build two floating wind turbines in the Gulf of Maine. The Advanced Structures and Composite Center at the University of Maine developed the technology behind Maine Aquaventus. Habib Dagger is executive director of the Composite Center and principal investigator of the project. Dagger explains why offshore wind technology could be big for Maine.
The biggest resource that was available to us in Maine that's untapped was offshore wind. To put things in perspective, the Gulf of Maine has about 156 gigawatts of offshore wind capacity within 50 miles. A gigawatt is a good-sized nuclear power plant.
CMP will buy electricity generated from Maine Aquaventus. I'm Laura Ross-Brautelum reporting.
Back in June, Governor Janet Mills signed a bill directing the Public Utilities Commission to approve the Maine Aquaventus contract. This is PNS. This week's U.S. Supreme Court decision not to hear a major homeless case puts a spotlight on Denver's controversial camping ban.
The decision upholds a federal appeals court ruling that a similar law in Boise, Idaho, violated the Constitution's Eighth Amendment ban on cruel and unusual punishment. Therese Howard with the group Denver Homeless Out Loud hopes city officials will reconsider its ordinance in light of the court's decision.
Our city government should hear that and should respond by saying, oh, we have an unconstitutional law on our books. We need to reverse that.
The Denver City Attorney's Office told the Denver Post no changes are planned for the ordinance and said the law is carefully and thoughtfully enforced. In the Boise case, the city argued that banning people from sleeping outside in tents or other shelters is necessary to maintain the health and safety of their communities. I'm Eric Galatas.
In May, Denver residents voted against an initiative to overturn the camping ban after a well-financed opposition campaign promised that the city could do better. The almost $1.5 trillion spending plan that the Senate is set to vote on today includes a dramatic 16% budget increase for Chesapeake Bay cleanup efforts. Diane Bernard has more.
If the bill passes, he says the Environmental Protection Agency's Chesapeake Bay program will get an extra $12 million, a huge win for the group. He says the funds will be put toward controlling pollution runoff and reducing the bay's high levels of nutrients and sediments.
Certainly these target areas of need, and I think most importantly, provide great bang for the taxpayer buck.
With bipartisan support, the spending deal is expected to pass the Senate, barring complications from the impeachment hearings for President Donald Trump.
The cleanup's goal is to get the Bay and its tributaries off the Clean Water Act's impaired waters list by the year 2025. Finally, Nadia Ramlagan reports critics of a bill being considered by lawmakers that would allow payday lenders to offer longer-term, higher-dollar loans, say. The legislation puts the most vulnerable folks in Michigan at risk.
House Bill 5097 would allow payday lenders in Michigan to make loans of up to $2,500 with no limit on the length of the loan. Sandra Pearson of Habitat for Humanity says families don't always know what they're getting into when they take out a payday loan.
More and more interacting with families who are coming to us wanting help
and probably about 30% of those coming to us are involved in payday lending loans that they're trapped right now, and we're working toward helping them get out of the cycle.
70% of Michigan borrowers take out a new loan the same day they paid off their previous loan. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your day with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Village of Catskill and City of Hudson are among 13 municipalities statewide to receive funding for water infrastructure improvements, according to a statement released by the Governor's Office December 17th. The Environmental Facilities Corporation is distributing more than $24 million through the Water Infrastructure Improvement Act. Catskill was awarded just under $3 million and Hudson nearly $322,000. Catskill Village President Vincent Seely said, and I quote, "We are very excited we are a recipient of the grant. We still have some legwork to do on our end before we can move forward," end quote. The village project involves making improvements to its water plant and to replace the water main beneath Main Street, Seely said. He said the project is likely to divide into four segments and cost a total of $5 million. In Hudson, the funds will go toward finishing a long-term project to improve water lines on Washington, Carroll, and Short Streets on the city's north side. Public Works Superintendent Rob Perry said Harry Howard Avenue, where a new 12-inch main was installed in 2004, continues to be fed with smaller lines. He said, and I quote, "We will have a 12-inch trunk line on Warren to 7th, down Washington and over to Harry Howard," end quote. With all the lines at 12 inches, the water flow will improve, he said. The total cost will be $536,000. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Patricia Doxey is reporting for the Daily Freeman. The chair of Ulster County Republican Committee, Roger Rasko, is calling for Democratic Elections Commissioner Ashley Dittus to recuse herself from the hand recount of ballots in the district attorney's race. Rasko alleges that Dittus' recent comments about the process indicate that she cannot be objective. He said it was clear she, and I quote, "has a bias and has already made a predetermination about the recount," end quote. In addition to her duties at the Board of Election, Dittus is also the secretary of the Ulster County Democratic Committee. Democrat David Clegg currently leads the race by 79 votes. Upon learning on December 17th that Republican Michael J. Kavanaugh would not waive a recount in that race, Dittus was quoted as saying, "the votes Kavanaugh needs to win," and I quote, "will not materialize out of thin air, and this recount will be an expensive and time-consuming exercise when the process has already proved time and again to have been accurate and transparent," end quote. Kavanaugh said this week he would not waive a recount after, and I quote, "much reflection and consideration," end quote, because he has an obligation to the thousands of voters who supported him to let the process play out. Dittus said the recount began Wednesday and that, and I quote, "not one irregularity was found with hundreds of ballots counted," end quote. The recount could take up to a month and is expected to cost $16,000 to $20,000. As the current chief assistant DA, Kavanaugh will become acting district attorney if the mandatory recount is not completed by January 1st. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. WRGB-TV is reporting on how the U.S. Postal Service is managing the holiday season and pending deadlines for shipping. Across the capital region this week, mail carriers will deliver 28 million packages each day. They transported 8 million packages on Sunday, December 15th alone. Postal employees start sorting mail overnight and deliveries continue through the day, in some cases up until 8 p.m. Holiday shipping deadlines are approaching. To have gifts received by December 25th via first-class mail, packages must be mailed by December 20th or via priority mail by December 21st. The deadline for priority mail express service is Monday, December 23rd. And you can read the full story at CBS6Albany.com.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has declared the former IBM site in Kingston, now known as Tech City, a Superfund site because of the release of asbestos into the environment. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, December 18th, said, and I quote, "This will be a long time in the making and will give us a lot of leverage to begin the work we need to do." Property owner Allen Ginsberg, through his actions, has essentially held our county's real economic development prospects hostage, and that is going to end, and this is a big step to ending that, end quote. The Ulster County Health Department reached out to the EPA in 2017 about issues around the asbestos abatement underway at the 92-acre site. During the removal process, many piles of debris containing the harmful silicate material were crated outdoors. Ginsberg now has until December 30th to respond to the EPA. Ryan said, and I quote, "I think he's worse than a slumlord," end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com. And that wraps up the WGX.